welcome to Teachers Off Duty. If you haven't tuned in with us before, my name is Rebecca Rogers. I'm R. Rogers World on all social media platforms.
I'm Lauren Woolley, Mrs. Woolley in Fifth on all social media.
And I am Brie Richardson, Honest Teacher Vibes on all social media.
Before we get started, we really want to talk about Bottle Learning, which is our sponsor for this episode. Lauren, go ahead and take it away.
Bottle Learning is an amazing gamified math platform that you can use with your students or your own children at home. It is completely 100%
free.
And we love free.
We do love free.
Bottle Learning is amazing because it can be used in a variety of different ways. So how it works is your student or child will create their own bottle character.
What subject?
Math.
Math, okay. I didn't know if you said the subject.
For
I'm sorry.
Now, eventually, hopefully, they'll just be able to open
other,
other kinds of social studies. But for now.
So they'll create their bottle character, and then they will complete a variety of math tasks where they can learn, but also earn knowledge points that they can then use to play various games mm-hmm. that also require some math skill. Mm-hmm. So they can use their knowledge of math curriculum and also be using it as kind of like an enrichment tool or an intervention tool as well. It's also easily accessible with Google Classroom, and you can attach parent emails so that they can see their students' progress as well. So make sure that you guys hit up bottlelearning.com or go on to the app store on your phone and download the app. We have been playing it and it's addicting even mm-hmm. for adults.
And I don't even like math, so you know if I'm playing it, it's fun.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I brag about it all the time, but I got.
Bro, she said that plasma
I
TV
got
one more time.
Plasma TV! Now, I need to get some new furniture in my house.
I can't. I might need you to help me make it past some levels because I ain't even got
I know, I'm way ahead
plant.
Of you on levels.
I ain't even got a plant
I'm
yet.
Crushing you.
Not a
no.
plant.
But you can use the different math tasks, and if you hit a streak, you get the prize wheel. Mm. And then you can earn different kinds of like furniture pieces and clothing items that. For your little character.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool how it's incentivized for students mm-hmm. also. It's really fun. Yeah. And it's something that I know students will enjoy. So make sure that you guys check that out and grab it for free while you can.
Whoop, whoop.
All right. So let's get started.
We really wanted to focus today on misconceptions about teaching. You know, things that we wish non-teachers knew and understood. Does anyone want to go first?
I got a lot of stuff.
And not only just misconceptions, but just like
things that
we want
you
to know.
Yeah, just thoughts in general.
They don't get.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You want to go first, Brie?
I mean, I think it's just the conversation, but I will start the conversation.
Yeah,
I think the biggest thing for me is like, we are not out to get your child.
No.
Like we, you know, we spend.
You mean it's not your sole purpose in life to destroy a sixth grader's life?
Children? Just this particular sixth grader, like your particular child.
But we genuinely love y'all's kids, even some of y'all's children that are hard to love. We love your kids, and as a teacher, we have, you know, we want to see them succeed. So, I mean, I just feel like there's this misconception, like, when we call home and let, you know, parents know, like, hey, we're having this particular problem or whatever, it's like, we're out to get your kid, and we're really not. And a lot of things can be fixed if we have some collaboration between the parent and the kid. Or between the parent and the teacher,
right?
If they're willing to work with us. So communication with us goes a long way.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be like an us versus them mentality.
Right.
You
exactly.
know, like it's a partnership. You know, it takes a village.
A lot of people feel that way, though. And I think a lot of it stems from maybe experiences that they had when they were in school. That's how it was when old school I taught at, and even a little bit at my school now, a lot of parents didn't have great school experiences. Either they struggled in school or they might not have struggled in school, but maybe their teachers didn't understand them or something like that. Right. And so then it translates into like you automatically put up like a defense for yourself and your child and don't want your child to be treated the same way, which is totally admirable. And I understand entirely.
Right.
But at the end of the day, teachers are there because we love children, hopefully. And we're there to help better your child and give them, you know, the tools that they need to be successful.
Right.
So, I mean, that's definitely, I wholeheartedly agree with you, Brie.
Right.
That's something definitely we want non-teachers to know.
I did have a parent who wholeheartedly thought that I just wanted their kid to fail. In spring 2020, when COVID first hit and the schools were shutting down, right? I had a student who I couldn't get him to do anything all semester so far. Like, mm-hmm. I tried, and he was very respectful. He was honest. He's, Miss Rogers, I just don't like school. Like, I mm-hmm. don't want to do this. I'm not going to do this.
Yeah.
I tried emailing home. I never got a response. But for whatever reason, as soon as online learning started, because mm-hmm. school shut down, you know, a lot of parents went into a frenzy. And I guess this kind of just put his dad into mm-hmm. a frenzy, and his dad would just became very adamant of, okay, what do I need to do to get him back on track?
Mm-hmm.
I said, okay, here's
which is good.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Which was awesome.
Yeah.
And I said, this is everything that he's missing. This is what he needs. Mm-hmm. And his next email back to me was, well, I'm not going to be able to do that on my own. Like, can I send him to the school to work with you? And I said, mm-hmm. sir, like, I'm sorry, the schools are shut
yeah.
down.
Yeah.
I'm not even allowed at the school building at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to be able to meet him at the school. That's not going to be allowed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so
wait,
this,
that just registered in my brain. He wanted you to go to the school and just
right,
meet with his kid.
Right.
Yeah,
and then when I told him
that.
No, he's like, okay, so
that.
Taco Bell this Saturday, 10 o'clock? And I was like, no.
First of all, I don't work on Saturday.
And
right.
I don't
right.
nobody want
right.
to go to Taco Bell.
Right.
At least go
like,
to Casa Mexicana.
Right.
They got them good marks.
Outside
them
of like
marks.
I'm not going to spend the afternoon
right.
like working on makeup work with you and your child. Like I laid out exactly everything
mm-hmm.
that you need, all the directions, all the
mm-hmm.
all of everything that you need in this email. Well, I'm not a teacher. I don't want to have to. Well, I'm not going to meet you at Taco. First of all, everything is shut down. If we're not allowed at the school,
right.
you think we're going to be able to just stroll on into Taco Bell?
That's very interesting
like,
to me. Like, why Taco Bell? Is that like, you like Taco Bell?
He didn't want to spring for the good chips and quesadillas.
I don't know.
Quesadillas.
And he was very convinced that I just didn't care about his son passing. And I was like there
sir.
Are... No!
Sir.
No, and... This guy really was just convinced
yeah.
I wanted his son to fail, and I didn't care if he failed or
but
not.
So how did y'all lead the conversation? Like, did he just...
He just, one day he stopped responding.
Oh.
He just stopped emailing.
After he said no to Taco Bell?
Well, he tried to contact...
He's like, I'll call a different teacher.
What if you
would have
been like, if we go to Jason's Deli, I got you, big dog. But Taco Bell...
He
mm.
tried to contact admin, and when they also told him, like, no, she
right.
cannot go
yeah.
meet
right.
you at Taco Bell right now. Like, he just, like, kind of gave up.
Why some parents call admin like they tattle in on us?
Right!
That's like, let me see your manager.
Yeah, that's a Karen move. Like,
that
let me talk
Karen
to
move.
Your manager.
Like, she won't go meet me at Taco Bell. Like,
manager.
What did you think they
oh
were going to say,
God.
Ms. Rogers? I'm going to come pick you up and take you to Taco Bell myself. Like, what did you think was going to happen?
I had one student, okay, like, talking about quarantine. So when we all went into quarantine, my school, like, our initial thought, because Ohio was the first state to shut down schools.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, we shut down for 3 whole weeks at the, like, from March 13th. We, like, you know, everyone was, like, talking about our governor because he was doing a good job of handling the pandemic
uh-huh.
and stuff.
Right.
So we were shut down for 3 weeks. And so we, initially, my, like, our students didn't have Chromebooks to take home.
Yeah.
They were in the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
So we were like, okay, what are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to teach them, you know, without being able to contact them at all?
Right.
And before they could get the Chromebooks out to the kids, they were like, okay, this is what we're going to do. Elementary staff, you guys are going to put together packets. You're going to have an activity a day for each subject area. And
I hate they made us put
it.
Together all
right.
those packets because the kids
listen,
never
I spent
did
the,
any
I've had
of
TikTok
them.
About it. Like,
yeah.
I spent a whole day making copies.
They never
I
did
killed so
anything.
Many trees that day. But like, I so I put
packets.
Together my packet and I even made a detailed schedule, like an itinerary day by day
mm-hmm.
of what each kid had to complete per day so that they could not get overwhelmed and stay on track.
Right, right, right.
And I had a parent email me and they were like, I don't understand how we're supposed to get all of this work done. There's no way you get all of that done in a day. And I was like, ma'am, I understand where you're coming from, but come sit in my classroom for
right.
one day and watch what we do.
Lauren be teaching,
like,
boy.
It's not, like, we aren't just, like, reading a book and going
right.
home. Like,
right.
It's intense, and I don't think a lot of people know that
right.
you know, our days are usually scheduled out pretty tight,
mm-hmm.
like,
mm-hmm.
minute to minute. So, you know, when non-teachers are like, oh, well, they don't do that much work in a day. Yes, we do.
It's
yeah,
just
we do.
I know. I got to teach all the state standards before March, so.
Okay.
Like, it's got to get done somehow.
My
so.
Thing is, I wish parents knew, like, everything your kid comes home and tells you is not true.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Like, that's the biggest thing. Like, come on,
but
man. Give
Billy's
us the benefit
an angel.
Of, give us the benefit of the doubt as a
He's
teacher.
Never
like,
misbehaved
your
ever
kids
in his life.
Come
They're
home and tell
children.
You. Yeah, they come home and tell you stuff. And that, but that goes back to them communicating with us because... y'all's kids come home and tell y'all some outlandish stories, mm-hmm. and y'all believe them. Yes. Yes. Like, a kid went home, told his mama his teacher was passing out a paper. He wasn't doing his work because his teacher passed out an assignment to everybody except for him.
Oh, my God.
Every day.
And she believed him.
Yeah. I'm like, come on, ma'am. Like, come on. I mean, I'm sure after she had a conversation, like a real conversation with the teacher, I'm sure she was like, wow, okay. But like, initially, like, if my daughter came home and was like, my teacher giving out an assignment to everybody except for me, girl, if you don't sit down somewhere, I know that's a lie. I can look at your face and tell you're lying. Because why would a teacher, the logic, like, come on, use your logic.
It doesn't make sense.
Now, sometimes I know it is hard for parents because your kids do come home and tell you stuff that you like, oh, I know they did, you know, and so you gotta check it out. But some of the stuff they be telling y'all, come on, it's outlandish.
Right, but like, even then, like, if it's not something that's like, you know, an emergency situation, mm-hmm. call the teacher.
Just right, ask. Talk to us.
Just and ask. Yes.
Communicate
like,
with us.
Yeah, just talk to them because, you know, probably 9.9 times out of 10, mm-hmm. it's not true.
Right. Or like exaggerated. It might be exaggerated.
I had a kid like straight up lie to his mama, like to her face. And the mom did not call me. She didn't try to reach out to me. She didn't communicate. She was talking to the teacher next door to me about me. And I'm like, bro, I never even knew that there was a problem because you never came
right.
and talked to me. So I reached out to the parent. I was like, hey, like, you know, this is what's going on. Like, this, I'm going to tell you exactly what happened, et cetera. Like, and the parent was cool. But, like, at first, like, you believed your son. Something that I literally did not do.
That happened to me my very first year of teaching. I had a student who went home and told their parents that they were having nightmares because of the book I read to them in class. And I'm like, I taught second grade at that point. So I'm like, and they didn't even call me or contact me. They went straight to the Board of Education.
Come on.
And they were like, she's giving my student nightmares because she's reading inappropriate books.
What book was it? What book was it?
It was because it was Black History Month. Okay. It was a book about history of mm-hmm. African Americans mm-hmm. in the United States. And like it was a poetry book called I Want to Be Free.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just about,
you said giving him nightmares?
It was about someone who was enslaved who was just dreaming about freedom. That's it.
He said that was giving him nightmares?
It was giving him nightmares. And I went home. And but they like it had nothing like violent or inappropriate. Like it was just a poem about like dreaming about freedom. And so like I called the parent and was like, hey, like I heard this is what happened because my principal called me. And my principal goes, what book were you reading? And I told her and she goes, where did you get it? And I'm like, the Children's Public Library.
Okay.
And she goes, oh, OK. So I called the parent and she was like, oh, I'm so sorry. Like she told me this and then I just, you know, I must have overreacted. I called the board because I have a friend who's on the board and
oh my goodness.
And I should have called you first to figure out what was really going on. I'm like, really? Yeah, you should have.
And we're not trying to say, here's the deal. I have a 3-year old who's mm-hmm. going to pre-K next year. She'll be in August. I'm already crying about it, my God. But anyway, I feel like if there's a problem with her at school, I'm gonna call her teacher. And we're going to communicate. I ain't finna just run up on the teacher crazy. Like, I can't believe. Because I want to, let me hear what you got to say first.
Right.
And we not saying your feelings as a parent are not valid.
Right.
Because if I'm, that's my child that I send to school with you. Mm-hmm. To be with you for however many hours. So we want your feelings to be validated as parents, but also let's communicate with each other instead of y'all just running up on us crazy
right. mm-hmm.
first. Like, let's have a conversation. And I'm going to say 100%, if something happened with my daughter while she had pre-K, when she go to pre-K in August, we going to have a conversation. Depending on what you say is going to depend on how the conversation is going to go down.
Right.
But use your good sense
right.
to know, like, use all the things provided to you to be able to make a decision on
right.
whether that is the particular thing that happened.
Right.
A kid went home and told their mama, that teacher showed them a picture of her 6-week ultrasound. The freaking kid went home and told their mama, that teacher showed them a video of her giving birth.
No.
Oh, wait, but what?
No.
And the teacher called admin, ma'am. He in the third grade. We ain't showed him no picture of no baby coming, no video of no baby coming out. We
oh
cannot do that. Why in your feeble mind would you think that a teacher would show a video to third graders of her giving birth to her baby?
Right.
It was an ultrasound picture, ma'am.
Was she still pregnant?
She was still pregnant.
If the parent would have just, like, you know, talked to the teacher or called the teacher or, like, come to the school even and been like, oh, you still pregnant?
You still pregnant. Okay.
I mean, I just want to reiterate, as somebody who is a parent, I'm not saying our feelings as parents are not valid, but I'm saying, bro, get all the facts.
Check your
facts.
But also,
this woman all the way pregnant, bro.
I took kids on a field trip to New York, and I had a girl who was shoplifting. She was sneaking out. Like, she was doing all, she called her mom. And when, like, I was like, you have to tell your mom what happened. Like, go ahead, let your mom know what happened. Told her mom, Miss Rogers hates me because I like to eat ice cream and I just wanted ice cream. Literally told her that.
Well, they be lying.
Right.
They be lying on us. They be lying on us.
I was like, I'm literally standing right in front of you.
They be lying on us.
What are you talking about? But, like, going back to what you were saying about, you know, knowing all the facts beforehand, we as teachers, obviously, like, parent feelings are valid. But sometimes, even when you have all the information, what you're asking for is not always attainable. Like, there's two stories I'm thinking of. One that happened to me, one that someone sent in.
Yeah.
I had a parent during online learning email me
and
say, hey, I just wanted to talk to you because I think the workload that you're giving these kids is way too much. You need to cut down on it. Now, first of all, I know what other teachers were giving.
This was during virtual learning?
This was during virtual learning. Okay. And the other teachers, because I know, because they complained about it every day, the other teachers would give an assignment every day that they would start in class, finish for homework, and that they would have to turn in the next day.
Okay.
I gave my kids one or two assignments a week that we'd started together in class, and if they didn't finish it, they could finish it at home.
And she was still saying that was too much.
Right, and she was saying, this is too much, he can't get it done. And I'm like, well, we do most of it in
together,
class. And she said, well, you know, he has baseball practice. And, you know, my son doesn't
even really need.
Oh, this was like the spring. I can't remember
now. So it was for homework then?
Yes. Like, okay. It started as classwork. And if you don't finish it, you can finish it for homework.
Because a lot of teachers don't give homework. But if a student don't finish it, they let them take it home.
I can't remember if it was fall or spring that year. But it was. I know it was online. He has baseball, you know. He doesn't actually need your class because he's going to go pro one day.
They be saying some stuff, boy.
Baseball needs to be the priority because that's his future.
I hope he goes pro.
I hope he does.
I hope the best for your kid.
And he's a good kid.
If I get paid for every kid in my class, I write a career. I have my kids write a career narrative every year. And they're 10 and 11 years old. So, like, I have them think about what job they want when they're older. And because they're 10 and 11, the jobs they want are, you know, for some of them are like, you know, are I don't even know how to describe them, but like our wildest dream jobs.
Right.
Okay. Where, you know, I hope to God they all get those jobs.
Everyone in your class is going to be president.
Right. Like, I wanted to be a veterinarian in fourth grade. Am I a veterinarian? No.
No.
But, like, that's what I wanted to be in fourth grade. So,
I
like, the amount of kids that told me they were going
to
be a pro football player, a pro wrestler, a YouTuber, a pro. I was like, all right, go.
Go,
like,
live your life,
and it's like, okay, your feeling as a parent is valid. Like, yes, I'm glad that you think that your child has the ability to make it that far. That's great. Support them. But that doesn't mean that I'm going to not have them do any work because they can't use their class time wisely. And I told her, I said, you know, we do most of these assignments in class.
Yeah.
Maybe he's not using his class time properly because I can't see him.
Right.
I can't make him do it. He doesn't turn his camera on.
Right.
He would never do that. Well, if he can't finish two assignments a week that we mostly do in class, I don't know what else to tell you. Like, maybe he's not able to do baseball right now if he cannot manage that.
Right. Well, it's always hard for us as teachers when they pull up the sports. Like, my thing, when I played basketball in high school, my dad wouldn't let me play if I didn't do my homework. If I didn't do my stuff. Like, like, I had a C in chemistry my sophomore year because I went to an academic magnet school and you had to take chemistry your sophomore year. And I could not get a B. Chemistry was, like, so hard. And my dad was like, all right, well, if you keep bringing a C home in chemistry, you ain't playing basketball.
I know,
and so that was my dad. So it made me work harder. My dad didn't say, let me call your teacher and say, do you give her too much stuff? She got basketball. And, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Oh, my gosh.
And we're not negating the fact that these kids, most teachers don't give homework.
Right.
I'm just going to be 100.
Right.
Most teachers, because it's such a touchy subject, we don't even get homework no more because we ain't about to fight these parents or these kids to do this homework that they not going to do anyway.
Right.
And their admin tells us we can't fail them if they don't do their homework. So we live in a different day and time because when we was in school, you could fail kids if they ain't do their homework. And so we don't give a lot of homework, but most teachers, if they give homework, it's because your child did not finish it during class. But with the sports thing, it's just kind of like, you know what I'm saying? Like, my parents would never been like, you ain't got to do that because you had basketball. I'm like, well,
something,
nah, fam,
something
do your
I
homework.
Want non-teachers to know is that, like, I might be like a younger teacher, but and I might be a female, but you cannot intimidate me into doing what you want.
Like, so I'm afraid of you.
I had a parent when I, like, this is the first year I ever taught fifth grade that this happened, and I actually took over the class in the middle of the school year, so it was already really tough make relationships with the kids and, like, have the parents trust me and like me. And at the end of the school year, it's literally the last day of school. Final grades are already in.
Right.
This parent, I get a message over the PA system that there's a parent in the office that was here to see me. It's like 7:30 in the morning.
Child, I ain't finished my coffee yet.
And before
Jesus.
I could say, like, don't send them up, they're like, they're on their way. And so he, like, shows up at my door. It's 7:30. It's 7:30 in the morning. It's me and this guy standing in the hallway. And he's, like, talking to me about his kids' grades because he saw their grades came out. And he goes, well, I'm just really concerned about his language arts grade because he had a B in your class. And that's just unacceptable in our household. They have to get straight A's. So if there's anything that I can do.
Sorry, it's the last
and he touched my shoulder.
No, don't touch me. Don't touch me.
If there's anything that I can do.
You can get your freaking hands off my shoulder.
So
that's what you can
get
do.
Get an A in language arts. And I was like, well, so-and-so had multiple opportunities for extra credit. And I give them plenty of assignments that are worth points that they could have done. And grades are already in.
Now unhand me, you scoundrel.
Exactly. But, like, in short, no. But thank you for coming and leave. Bye. And I like, but, like, I'm sorry. You're not going to try to bribe me into.
Right.
Yeah. Like, a creepy bribe, nonetheless. But, like, you're not going to bribe me and you're not going to intimidate me into giving your kid a grade that they didn't earn.
The last day, bro. We've been trying to contact you about your car's extended warranty.
And it's about to be summer. And I listen, that's another thing that non-teachers need to know. I don't get paid in the summer.
Please say it again.
It irritates me when people who are teachers are like, well, I get part of my paycheck over summer. You don't get paid for summer.
Right.
You are a 10-month employee.
Right.
And just because you redistribute your 10-month paycheck into the summer does
you
not
don't get
mean
paid
that you're
for
paid
the summer.
For summer.
Yeah, so let me explain this because we're going a little fast for some people that don't really understand the education system.
Right.
So there are basically, at least that I know of, two ways that you can get paid as a teacher. So we get paid, at least in Ohio, for 180 days of work.
Yes.
That is the 10-month schedule of school. Of those 180 days that I work, I could either choose to take that pay as I've earned it and choose to save it up myself so that I have money to live off of in the summer. Or we spread it out over 12 months. Mm-hmm. So your paycheck is less, but you're making the same amount as you would in 180 days. You're just spreading it out over two months more so that you can have a paycheck to live off of in the summer. I am not getting paid to sit at home during the summer. Technically, we're really laid off in the summertime.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we are unemployed over summer.
There's no working in the summer unless you are a teacher that works for like a summer program at your school where you get paid extra to do that. Or there are some teachers that attend multiple training sessions
over
the summer.
Professional development.
Right. And you get paid for that.
And those aren't always open to everyone. And what I like to tell people is that, you know, the teachers who are able to teach summer school, they're literally just working a second job that just happens to be at the school. Just like their friend might be working a summer job at a restaurant.
Yeah, a lot of
they're
teachers
working
work
a second
two jobs.
Job that just so happens to be at the school. They're not getting their teacher salary paid for over the summer. It's a second
it's
job.
It's an hourly job usually.
Right.
And like, it's just like, it bothers me that it's literally only teachers I ever hear that's said about is like, oh, well, you guys get summers paid off.
Ain't nobody taking
like,
off
no
in the summer.
No one gets
it's
that.
Just like,
that doesn't happen.
It's just like, you know, my neighbor does like concrete work. It's like, it's just like a person who does that kind of job where, you know, you work for the majority of the year, but in the winter months you can't go out and pour concrete in 20 degree weather. So you're literally laid off during
like
that time.
Cut grass, like they got grass cutting business.
Exactly. So it's just like that. Like there are certain months we can't work because the kids aren't at school.
Right.
And I can't control that. I don't make the school schedule.
And most teachers got a second job in the summer. If you're a single parent and you on a teacher salary, Most of those people have second jobs. If you're a parent in general, you ain't just chilling at the house in the summertime because right. your kids running all around and sleeping in is a joke because your kids be bright-eyed and bushy-tailed
There's
at 7 o'clock
in the morning. This is my sixth year of teaching. There's not been 1 year that I've taught where teaching was my only job.
Like, oh, for sure.
I've had 2 or 3 jobs for every sure. single year yep. just to afford to live yep. because it's not. You know, yeah. right. it's not doable.
And that would be said by a lot of teachers. If you yeah. if you polled 100 teachers, yeah. quite a few of them would say they have a second
and
job. Quite a few of them would say they got 2 or 3.
I'm not going to try and say teachers can't make good money, because you can.
Right, of course.
But you also have to be, like, you know, 20 years into your career, usually, before right. you start making really good money as a teacher. Right. So
and
it's
still
hard.
Not that great.
No, it's not. It's
right.
not. But, like,
it's still
I
not that great.
Like, it's really hard when people are like, well, you get so much paid time off. I'm
no.
like, well, I get off government holidays, and then I get off, like, I have, obviously, you know, the breaks that the kids have right. for either, like, our spring break is 5 days, and right. I get 2 weeks at Christmas, and that's right. it. The summer, I am not being paid
right.
for
right.
that. So that's not considered time off. That's mm-hmm. just, I'm out of a job
right.
for 2 months.
And when you look at, like, what teachers are paid in some of the, like, just unnecessary demands mm-hmm. that some parents make. Like, some one person sent me a story mm-hmm. They teach elementary mm-hmm. and the parent, for whatever reason, was just convinced that the teacher was starving her kid at school.
Starving.
And she was like, my kid's not eating enough at what school
grade?
Elementary. I don't know what grade, I just know elementary, probably younger elementary. Mm-hmm. My kid's not eating enough, you're not letting them eat. I promise you, I'm letting them eat.
Sometimes
well, did you shove the
picky.
Food in their
yeah,
mouth? No, they're not going to do that.
Right.
So the parent demanded that this teacher print out and write out a nutrition log every day to document exactly what the kid ate, how many calories worth, like every
the
single
admin
day.
Make them do that?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
So the teacher did, but the parent wouldn't send the form back. So then she had to go and re-download it and reprint it out every single day. And then after a couple weeks of this happening, of her not getting the log back, she sent an email to the parent saying, hey, I see that you're not sending the log back, and it does eat a little bit of my morning every day to have to go down to the printer
right, right.
and get another one. Can I just send it weekly? Like, is that okay? I'll still do the form.
Right.
Can I please just send it at the end of the week so that it's not cutting into, like, 5-10 minutes every single morning?
Day, right.
And the parent said, absolutely not.
Why should I want to send the form back?
I have no reason to send the form back, because I don't have to prove to you I'm feeding my child. You have to prove to me
you're feeding my child.
We just
want the form back so we can continue writing.
Lady.
Right. Like, she wouldn't send it back. She's like, that's not my job to send it back. You can go ahead and print it out. Like, you have unlimited resources.
I'm not a dietitian. I don't know what.
Again,
like, I don't know how I would even count the calories aside
like,
from, like, looking at the
wrapping
paper.
Props to that teacher for actually doing that.
I'm just saying,
like,
I know my child, she eats like a bird, and you cannot make Peyton eat if she don't want to eat. So when she get to preschool next year, she gonna be hungry when she come home, and I just know that. I'm gonna make her eat when she comes home, because I know that girl will go all day long and will not eat. She might nibble on a Nutri-Grain bar, and as a parent, it causes me anxiety, because I'm like, bro, you gonna starve, please eat something.
Right.
But kids will eat when they hungry. So
right.
Peyton, when she
yeah.
come home, if she hungry, she gonna eat. But at school, she would just
kids in elementary school, like, at least, like, we were just talking about this at our last meeting. A lot of kids in elementary school, when it's lunchtime, they want to sit and talk to their friends, so they don't sit there and eat their lunch. And the amount of food that goes into the garbage can
yeah.
is
right.
disgusting. Like, they right. throw
yes.
away so much stuff. And it's like, I'm sorry, I can't sit there and, like, force feed your child.
And some of that food nasty in the cafeteria.
Our cafeteria is pretty good.
No, our food nasty.
In our county, they actually make the first 10 minutes of lunch silent to make the kids eat, and then the parents
in
happy
high
with,
school
no in elementary but then the parents aren't happy with that either, because that's like a prison, you're not letting them socialize. And it's like, okay, you don't like when we're not forcing them to eat, but then you also don't like when we are forcing them to eat. Like, there's no winning. And even back to the story, you know, that teacher really went above and beyond, and it wasn't even appreciated in any little bit. Like, there's I wish parents or non-teachers knew that whether we do or whether we don't, there's no winning for teachers ever.
Someone's always going to get upset.
Right. Someone's always going to be upset.
Yeah. There are definitely situations that are easier than others.
Yes.
You know,
for sure.
Sometimes you know, it's hard to avoid someone being upset with a decision that has to be made.
They can't. I mean, we ain't gonna be able to make everybody. Everybody happy. But
exactly.
Another thing that I want non-teachers to know, and this is the biggest thing, we do not get off at 3:30.
No,
bro, we do not work. We do not. There's a misconception out there that we work 8 to 3, fam. If we did, I would be a lot happier.
We go home but and we keep working.
We do not. Well, first of all, school don't dismiss where I taught. School didn't dismiss till 3:45. The buses didn't roll out like they would dismiss by grade by 3:45. Everybody was on their bus. Buses roll out at 3:50. If you got stuff to do after school, like you weren't able to make your copies because you had to cover two classes during your two planning periods, you had to cover classes, you know what I'm saying? Whatever situation you had to deal with during the day where you might not have had time to get what you need done for the next day. So some teachers are staying after school making copies. Some teachers are up there on the weekends doing stuff. Now, I used to be that teacher that would do stuff on the weekends, baby, not no more. My this last year burned me out. I was like, no, if it don't get done at school, I ain't doing it. But for first year teachers, sometimes they can't do that.
To take on that mindset, but I also was like, my first year teaching,
I don't do that anymore. But
I stayed
my first
up until
year,
like
yeah.
nine. Like there were days at school I stayed until 9.
And it's a lot of teachers
getting stuff
doing
done.
It.
And I was just burning myself out like the first few months of school. So I like this year. I said, okay, if I have to grade something, I will take home one thing that I have to grade. But other than that, I am not taking home anything from school. If I can't get it done. And I use my prep time wisely. Like, I could see if I was, like, jacking around in my prep time.
Yeah, I close the door.
Yeah, not using my time. Like, I use my time wisely. If it can't get done at school, then it's going to wait till it's a tomorrow Lauren's problem. Like, I can't. You know, because we all have lives outside of school. Yeah. We're all human. Mm. Like, we have families and people we have to take care of and things we have to do. So we don't get to just, you know, leave and pretend the world is going to stop if we're not there. Mm. And then that's hard, especially when you, like, have a sub, too.
Right.
Like, I can't even be sick without having to worry about what my kids in school are going to do while I'm not there.
Well, and I want to make a comment on this exact point before we end, is that, you know, technically our contract, you know, and you know, mine was 2:30, yours is 3:30, whatever it is. A lot of teachers still go home and keep working. However, that doesn't mean these teachers are on call to answer your phone calls, to answer every single email. Like, yes, we're still working, but we're not paid for it. It's not in our contract. That doesn't mean that I'm going to be answering emails from you at 8:00 at night. Now, I might be working on materials for my kids until 2 a.m, but it doesn't mean that I'm
going
to see what you need from
me.
Not me.
That was me, like, went during online learning. It was rough. It was a rough time.
Catch me snoring at 2 a.m.
I ain't knocked out to the gods.
No.
I ain't going to be doing nothing at 2 a.m.
But I think that we could honestly talk about things that we wish non-teachers knew forever. There's so many. So
we'll probably do another episode like this.
Right. We will probably do more episodes
more? I mean,
like
it's an in-depth conversation.
Right. Especially if, like, you guys like it, if you guys give us ideas of other things that we might be missing that we wish that non-teachers knew.
And if you have any other topics that you guys want us to talk about or ideas for episodes that you want to hear, let us know. Put it in our comment section either under the YouTube video or on our Instagram, wherever.
Can't they make comments on podcast platforms too?
I've seen some of y'all sending stories directly to our personal social medias. Our inboxes get like super full. So if you want something, if you have a topic you want us to talk about, send it to the Teachers Off Duty Instagram.
That'll be a lot easier to manage.
Because we want to talk about.
It'll be streamlined better.
If there's topics that you guys want to hear, we definitely want to put those topics out there.
Absolutely. But thank you guys so much for watching. And again, thank you to Bottle Learning for partnering with us with all of these videos. And we absolutely 100% back them. Please go and download Bottle Learning. Use it with your classes. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And check out our merch and our social media. Woo-hoo. And we will see you guys next time.
Love you guys.
Bye. Bye, my lovelies.